Blog Talk Radio.
Mark Rawson, I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, this is our new time slot on Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's been a lot of changes to our Spiritual Connections Radio network. A lot of our shows that used to run every week are now running every month. So make sure to go check out our website and see what the new schedule looks like for a lot of our different hosts and stuff like that and different shows. You can find out more about that by going to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. I'd like to also announce that one of our favorites on there with Lattes of Heaven, Melissa Heavener, is actually traveling pretty intensively for the next 6 months or so. So she's actually dropped her show for now, but we should be seeing her back later in the year. So we'll be missing her show and everything like that. So with that, let me go ahead and bring in Pam.
Hi, Mark. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Pam.
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's, you can't complain from Florida. Actually, I'm actually going to start to complain and say it's actually hot here today. So who would thought we'd ever complain about that?
It really is so beautiful, though. I mean, my kids were in the pool today. I don't know how they were in the pool. I think the pool is still freezing, but they were in there.
Yeah. Well, I've been out to your house a couple times, and it's just so amazing between the back area where you can sit out and just that beautiful, I don't know, would you call that a pond or a lake? Or?
It's Lake Joyce. It's a lake. It's a spring-fed lake.
Okay, it's a lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. So it's such a great setting.
Thank you. Well, I really love it every day. Thank you for saying that. This is Lake Joyce Studios here.
Well, I was going to say we have to bring all our listeners up to date. So what is going on with the tree?
Oh, the tree. Well, nothing at this point. They have... there's always complications, and they've turned it over to be surveyed, and they've got to do all this whatnot with the land before they can take my beautiful tree down, which is heartbreaking. But those of you that listen to the show every week, we had a conversation, I think it was last week, about this, just this majestic, massive tree that has to come down to fix this culvert that goes between the street and the lake. And it's just how it is. So I'm talking to it every day and trying to release the whole idea of having it there because it's just so beautiful. But c'est la vie.
Well,
anyway.
I think one of the amazing things that came out of that conversation, at least it was an aha moment for me spiritually, is the guest that we had on said basically, well, if you contact the tree, you'll notice that the tree basically will continue as a tree energy spirit and will actually stay even though the physical part of the tree will be gone. And I guess I never thought of it at that level. Like, I understand the connection of nature and the planet and everything else, but it never dawned on me that, you know, just like when we pass away, we become energy and stuff like that, that the tree itself would actually continue, and not only continue, but continue to be present in that space. So I thought that was such a beautiful, at least an aha moment for me.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, it's kind of like when you lose a limb. You know, people lose a limb and they still feel that limb. That energy is still very much there. And maybe perhaps when the earth loses a tree, it feels that same energy. Who knows?
Mm.
Feels like it's true.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Let's talk to our guest tonight. She's sitting there very patiently listening to us. Tonight we have a very special woman on with us. Her name is Catherine Gates Ferris. And Kathy is an ordained interfaith minister, a shamanic practitioner, and a hypnotherapist. So welcome, Kathy, to the show.
Thank you, Pam and Mark. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, Kathy. Great to have you on.
So,
all right. Go ahead, Pam.
I was going to say, let's talk about what you do so our audience can get to know you a little bit. What kind of spiritual work do you do? Now, the name of the show is Spiritual Connections,
mm-hmm.
So I think everyone sort of expects people that are specialized in some form of spiritual activity. So let's start there. Who are you in terms of your spiritual work?
Okay. So I am an interfaith minister. I was ordained through a seminary program offered by One Spirit Interfaith Seminary. It's in New York City, but they do have telecommuting classes, so anybody in the world can participate in the program. It's a wonderful program teaching you about all the different major religions and spiritual practices and ceremonial work. So part of my work is providing weddings, funerals, special celebrations, and doing spiritual counseling. And I've been doing that since 2005. And I'm also a shamanic practitioner, and I trained with Michael Harner in the Foundation for Shamanic Studies and completed the advanced training about 7 or 8 years ago. So in shamanic work, we use journeying to non-ordinary reality to connect with our helping spirits for information and healing. And the thing I love about shamanic work is that anyone can do it. So I love teaching basic shamanic journeying and showing people how easy it is to connect with their spirits for healing. Healing themselves and healing other people. I also do hypnotherapy, and I specialize in past life regression and life between life work. And I also love doing hypnotherapy, and it's a lot like shamanic work because we're journeying in the mind, and it's vast and infinite and very interesting where the mind can take us. And more recently, I've been training in acupressure for the last couple of years. I've been training in Jin Shindo acupressure. It's working with the pressure points in the body to release your qi energy and to make sure it's flowing evenly through all of your body meridians. And what I like about Jin Shindo is the name. It means the way of the compassionate spirit. I think that's beautiful. So I have 4 major healing techniques that I use and sometimes combine when I'm working with clients.
Lovely. That sounds fascinating. And you said you've been practicing since 2005.
Yes, I am 60, well, actually for about 12 years. I made a commitment to myself as I was going through life, that when I hit 50, I would commit to my spiritual path. It was something that for many years I wanted to do, but felt I didn't have the time or energy or funds to do. But my children were old enough that I was able to leave them, and I had the time and the funds to pursue my training. So I work full-time in a nonprofit agency. I have over 40 years experience working in public health programming. But I started my training 12 years ago, and this past December I decided to cut back on my nonprofit administration work and devote more and more time to my healing center, which is Dragonfly Healing Center. And if you're interested, I can tell you why it's named that.
That was going to be one of my questions. Dragonfly is such a wonderful name. Where did you get it, and is there any sort of story behind that?
Yes, there is. And Dragonfly is known for transformation. And when I was doing my shamanic training, one of the initiation journeys that you take is to your helping spirit, who kind of dismembers, destroys you, blows you up, basically pulls you apart, or whatever, destroys you, and then remembers you and brings you back together better than before. And it was Dragonfly Spirit that remembered me in my first shamanic dismemberment. So I see Dragonfly as a spirit that has brought me to who I am, made me better than before, and provides me with the support and inspiration for my healing center.
That's really lovely. Do you know that this morning I went out on my dock and I was sitting on the lake looking at the surface of the water, and there was this dragonfly. It didn't look like it was even full grown, but it was bright blue. It was just the brightest blue hovering over the top of the water, and I was watching it and just kind of mesmerized by it. And then all of a sudden, in this act of complete violence, this massive fish leapt out of the water and grabbed it. It's like that's also another way that they transform.
Yes. the circle.
Go on. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up because it was one of those moments where you think to yourself, well, this means something. I just don't know what it is.
Well, it's a shamanic dismemberment.
Exactly.
And I guess maybe the fish remembered the dragonfly. I don't know. But I'm sure the dragonfly spirit is still there.
So answer a question for me, Kathy, if you would. The shamanic journeying that you said you were teaching, it sounds very much like connecting to your spirit guides. Is it similar to that?
Yes, it is similar to that. So we, in shamanic work, we usually use a drum, and it's called sonic transportation. So we use a drum or rattles to kind of change the brain waves to allow your mind to be able to travel. And basically there are three worlds that we work in: the lower world, the upper world, and the middle world. And the lower world tends to be more earthy and more animals. There are people there, but primarily it's where we would go in a journey to find our power animals. And then we would journey to the upper world, which is more etheric, and that's where there are more angels, guides, and those kinds of helping spirits up there. So we do have helping spirits that are with us on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis. They may change, and it's the same with the power animals and the helping spirits in the upper world that we work with. Sometimes our power animals will stay with us for life. Others will come and go depending on what we need. And it's just a beautiful way of connecting with spirit. And the term non-ordinary reality was coined by Carlos Castaneda, which I'm sure you've probably heard. And he was popular at the same time Michael Harner was getting started. Now, Michael Harner is an anthropologist, and he studied many different cultures around the world. And he is the one that looked at all the different shamanic practices by all the different cultures and kind of called what the key practices and developed what he calls a core shamanism. And that's what he teaches through the foundation. And whereas there are many shamanic practices, particularly in South America, that you may use drugs like ayahuasca to alternate their brain waves. In core shamanism, we use drums or rattles. There's no psychedelics involved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mark, you want to jump in there? Do you have a question?
Yeah, actually, I want to see if we can get Kathy to do something for us. Hey, Kathy, I know we didn't have this planned, but do you think you could take the group through like a quick little meditation to meet either an power animal or what do you feel guided to do?
I would love to do a little guided meditation for spiritual healing. We won't be journeying to the lower world or anything, but. Or finding a power animal, because that's really personal. And however, there is a healing meditation that I love to use with people. So if you'd like me to do that, I'd be happy to.
What do you think, Pam? Right. You want to give that a run?
I think that's a great idea.
All right. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, great. So what I'd like people to do is just to begin by focusing on their breathing. And as you know, a great way to breathe is by first expanding your abdomen and then your lungs. So you feel kind of, it's almost a rhythmic breathing where you inflate your stomach and then your chest. And as you breathe in, you want to breathe in a sense of peace and relaxation. And as you breathe out, just slowly release any tensions or worries, anything that's bothering you. Just release it into the air, and it will dissipate and be transmuted, so there's no worrying about that. So by breathing, we connect with our body. So slowly breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. And with each breath you take, you'll find your body getting more and more relaxed. So closing your eyes and focusing on your breathing, I'd like you to just imagine kind of climbing onto a cloud, a big fluffy cloud. And you just kind of relax and lay back into the cloud, and it completely supports you. So you don't need to worry about that. It's soft and fluffy, and it's like being wrapped in a nice warm blanket. And you feel the sun warming you as it beats down on you, and you're protected by the cloud. And you're just floating along, just kind of floating and drifting, drifting and floating. And there's nothing in the world bothering you. No worries, no concerns. You're just enjoying the moment of being at peace and deeply relaxed. So just floating and drifting along, floating and drifting. And then slowly the cloud brings you back down to the earth. And when it lands down on the earth, you just, in your time, slowly get off the cloud and put your feet on the earth. And your feet are bare feet, so you really are able to connect with Mother Earth. And you're in a field of beautiful green grass. And you can feel a gentle breeze, can hear the birds, can smell the flowers, and feel the warm sun. And just very slowly, I want you to meander through that green grassy field. And as your feet touch the earth and the grass, the coolness of the grass and the earth covers your feet. And you feel your energy going down your legs into the earth and connecting with Mother Earth. And as you breathe in love and strength from Mother Earth, breathing it up through your legs into your body like a green light. And as you breathe out, it passes back down out your feet. And you look up into the sun and close your eyes, and you feel the warmth of the sun on your face and on your shoulders and your arms. And you call in the power of the sun into your body through the crown chakra, breathing in a white light. And as you breathe it in, you breathe it all the way down to your feet, down into the Mother Earth. And you're connected now between heaven and earth. You're a channel of beautiful, unconditional love from Mother Earth and from the heavens. And you feel it cleansing you inside and out. And it feels so good. And when you're ready, open your eyes and look down at your feet standing in that green grass. And begin walking again very slowly, enjoying the moment. And as you look up ahead, you'll see a circle of trees, beautiful trees, shimmering with the light and the breeze. And you get closer and closer to that circle of trees. It's a fairy circle, as you know, circles of trees. And as you approach that circle and you enter into the welcoming branches underneath of the trees, you feel the coolness that the trees provide by covering you and protecting you from the sun's rays. And in the center of the circle of trees, there's a beautiful marble bench. I want you to slowly walk over and sit down on the bench. And then lean back and face the sun. With your eyes closed, you feel the warmth of the sun. You feel the coolness of the air provided by the trees. And again, you feel at peace. And open your eyes. And as you begin looking at the trees through your soft eyes, you begin to see little sparkles of light, flitting here and flitting there, in and out of the trees and the leaves. It's like a little light show. And some of the lights get closer and closer. And the closer they get to you, the more they can begin to take shape. And you see they're actually little fairies, little tree fairies, and they flit up to you and flit away, smiling and engaging with you. and you hold out your hand, and one of them comes and lands gently in your hand and looks you in the eye and says to you, "Beloved, we are so happy you are here with us in our fairy circle. We welcome you." And with the flitting of our wings, we send you healing. And as you look into our eyes, you see unconditional love. So know that you are part of the divine plan. You are connected to all that is, was, and ever will be. You are a glorious soul, and we are happy you are here. And the fairy gently flips up to your cheek, gives you a little kiss, and flies away. And you see the little lights of the fairies going back to the trees and becoming fading away. But you feel a sense of overall peace and connectedness, and you understand what unconditional love is. Unconditional love for yourself and for everyone around you. And you understand the connectedness of life. So when you're ready, feeling relaxed and renewed, you can stand up and walk back through the circle of the trees, back across the grassy field, back to your cloud. And climb back into your cloud and float back to your present location, coming back completely to the time and space where you are now, but feeling lighter and loved. Namaste.
Thank you for that, Kathy. Let me do a quick commercial break here. So everybody listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, we just finished with a nice healing journey with Kathy, and of course I have Pam on with me this evening. And if you want to find out more about the show or other shows, go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Pam, do you have a question?
Well, first I'd like to thank you for that lovely meditation. That was beautiful. And second of all, I'm getting a strange feedback, sort of an echo, so if you hear me hesitate, it's because I'm hearing myself talk. I just want to make a comment more than I have a question about this, but during the meditation, you know, often people will experience a meditation and follow the sound of the leader's voice through the meditation. And then at some point, either the guides or whoever it is that's around them personally can take them out of that for just a little bit, and then you sort of meet back up again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And for me, the interesting thing was I was following you, and we were walking toward the circle of trees in the meditation, and all the fairies were, before I even got to the trees, were running up, and flying up, and they were flying all around me on my shoulders,
uh-huh,
on my hair, and they were talking to me before I even got to the trees. So then you kind of caught up with me, you know. It was interesting.
Yeah, they were very excited that we were coming to visit them. They couldn't wait.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Anyway, so you've been obviously a leader or leading spiritual meditations for quite some time. Do you do this on a regular basis in your work?
Well, I don't do a lot of guided meditation in my work. I have actually begun incorporating it more into some of the acupressure work I do and sometimes in the hypnotherapy work. But usually in hypnotherapy work, the client is determining the direction.
Okay.
I sometimes will use guided meditation in groups for some stress management and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my work is not done with groups. It's done with individuals.
I see. So in the hypnotherapy session, do you start with a visualized meditation? Like I work with a hypnotherapist on another radio show. She's the co-host of a radio show. And Mark has done hypnotherapy work on the radio as well. And I find that often there is a visualized meditation to begin with on, at least in group sessions, on, you know, the garden and the stairs and, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, to take someone very deeply into a hypnotic state. Do you do that?
Yes, I do. And one of the things I often do is begin with a, we really want to work with the mind's eye. And some people are, it comes more easily than others. So
mm-hmm.
in Dolores Cannon is a hypnotherapist and has written many books. And I've trained with her. She's really an incredible person. And one of the things she always begins with is saying to the client, see a red bird in your mind's eye. And if the client can see it, then we say, see a bluebird or see a green tree or, you know, something, and get them to begin engaging the seeing, the sensing, the hearing, the feeling. Because
right.
That's the part of the mind we work with. And for some people it's easier and some people it's a little harder, but everybody does get there. And so once people understand that that's the part of the mind we're working with, and we explain that we're working with the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind and not the conscious mind, and
mm-hmm.
getting people to relax and be able to connect with their subconscious mind and then their higher self, really makes the session work. So I begin with imagining a rainbow and saying there's a particular color in that rainbow that's most appealing to you, and pulling that color to you and using that color to kind of relax the body through, pulling the color over you and through you and so on. And then there's always the practice of defining a safe space. So finding a place that the person feels safe and protected and relaxed. And it can be being in the mountains or at a beach or even in a room in your house. But it's a place that people can use as a to go back to at any point in the session if they really want to remember the feeling that they had of being in that safe place. And we also anchor it into the body. And then we also use a pyramid of protection, a crystal pyramid, so protecting the client throughout the session. So those are three things that I always do at the beginning of any hypnotherapy session before doing more induction and getting the person deeper and deeper.
I see. Do you have a favorite type of practice, either as an interfaith minister, shamanic practitioner, hypnotherapist, and now the acupuncture? Is there one that you enjoy doing more than the others?
Well, it's funny because a client of mine just asked me that today. And I said, being a Gemini, I love them all. And I would be bored if I was just doing one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also like is they feed each other. If I hadn't done shamanic work before I did hypnotherapy, I think I would have been less open to the possibilities of where the mind takes us. And
mm-hmm.
So I love that, and I've also tried incorporating some Reiki into the acupressure and into the hypnotherapy and shamanic work into the acupressure and you know, and then there's always spiritual counseling involved too, connecting to the divine. So I love all the different practices, and I love using them in different situations. So depending what spirit calls me to do.
What do you think is the most amazing lesson you've learned since you began practicing like this? What's the one thing you can tell our audience that is a powerful lesson that you've learned?
So I think I'm always doubting the experience and saying, you know, there's always that conscious part of your mind saying, oh, you're just making this up.
And so
I think one of the things that was most profound for me, it's part of my shamanic. I did some psychopomp training, and that's where you travel to the middle world and you find spirits of people who have died but haven't crossed over. They're either confused, they don't know they're dead, they're afraid, they're not ready to move on. And so I'd done a weekend training and up outside of Boston, and one of the exercises we did was to go to the middle world and find somebody who needed help crossing over. So I did that, and I ended up seeing two people. The second was a man who was down at the World Trade Center. He was a fireman. And I came up to him, and he was sitting there with his head cradled in his hands, you know, very distraught. And this is, like 2 or 3 years after the World Trade Center. And I figured, well, man, everybody's helped these spirits cross over. I was surprised to see that there was still somebody there. So I talked to him for a while, and eventually he was willing to move on. And then I remember driving home back to New Jersey from Massachusetts that Sunday night, and I'm thinking once again to myself, you know, it feels so real when you're doing it, but then you think about it afterwards and you say, oh, my mind just made that up. So Monday morning I get up to go to work, and I open up the newspaper, and the headlines of the newspaper is Last Fireman to Die at World Trade Center Funeral was Sunday. And I said, when you need a kick in the pants, all you need to do is look at the newspaper headlines.
Wow.
I said that you can't get more confirmation than that, right?
And that, mm-hmm. that's a wonderful lesson too. Mark, I'm sorry because I stole your question. That's the question he usually asks people. And it just popped into my mind, and I thought, oh, that would be a wonderful question to ask you. So sorry I jumped the gun on your question, Mark.
Oh, no problem. Hey, you're really good at picking up on that information, so I love that. Kathy, you know, I've done a lot of work with past life regression, and I want to go over and talk about life between life regression, because I don't know that a lot of people in the spiritual area are familiar with that. I know I've done a lot of studies with Newton on that, but I was wondering if you could, I'm going to kind of fire off a couple things and you can kind of just go through and answer them. Can you just explain to everybody what is the difference between life versus past life? And for someone like myself, explain when you're working with somebody how, I know all the techniques that I use to take people into regression. Tell me how it's different when you're working with somebody when you're doing the life between life stuff. And maybe share a story or, like a really interesting piece of information that would be great for everybody to understand about what occurs in that mm-hmm. process. You.
Okay. So life between life, the process is you do a past life regression. You take a person through a previous lifetime and then to the point where they die. And then that's when it really begins. It's what happens when that person dies. Where do they go? They're met in, or, heaven or wherever they're going by helping spirits or relatives or, you know, key people there in their life. And they will go before a council and review their life and talk about the lessons that they learned. And then there's planning that happens for the next incarnation. Sometimes you have access to the Akashic records and you can see past and future and your connection to the others in your soul group. So what I find most interesting and kind of the aha moment for a lot of people is knowing that, you know, I planned this lifetime, that, you know, it before I incarnated, before I was born, I had a life plan. Of course, we all have free will, and that can change at any point in our life, but we incarnate in the human form because we want to learn lessons. We want to know what it's like to be human in all its frailties. And we make agreements with the other actors in our life, the other members of our soul group. And we play different roles in different incarnations. So I may be a mother in just another soul in this lifetime. In the next lifetime, we may be sisters or cousins or something. So the relationships change. But it's like a play. It's, you know, we play different roles in different incarnations. And the purpose is to learn what it means to be human. So those people that cause us the most grief, and are most challenging to us, are the ones that are teaching us the most. And we all act, you know, we all agree to the roles we play out of a origin of love for each other, an agreement that we're doing this because we love each other, the souls in our group. So when terrible things happen to people, and one of the things to look at those situations is not as a victim, like, this happened to me, this terrible thing happened to me, and changing the perspective and saying, if it's true that I planned this and I agree with this, then what are the lessons for me in this situation? How can I use this experience to grow and become a better being?
We seem to have a little bit of an echo going on there.
I'll take you off speaker. Maybe that helps. Is that better?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's see if I have an echo on my end. Okay, yeah. It was really weird. There was something kind of looping around. I got some follow-up on that, but PM, do you have a question? I want to give you a chance to jump in here on this topic.
No, go ahead. If you have a follow-up question, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll just kind of share something really quickly, which I thought was my aha moment from past life, and that is, I was doing, you know, I had read all the books from Brian Weiss, and I did my first certification with Brian and his wife. And one of the things that, we got a message coming up on our console here. Okay.
Yeah, it's about
chat room issues. Yeah, I thought whether we were going to say echoes. So one of the things that I thought was interesting is I thought I understood by studying, before I went for my one-week certification to become certified to do regression work, I thought I had a good handle on understanding how past life worked. Like, to me, going in before I, you know, where this is leading is I had a chance to get in line and actually go and ask him a question face-to-face. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to ask him. And I'm standing there thinking about it as I'm moving up in the line. And, you know, I realized that with all the books that I had read, especially his Many Lives, Many Masters, you know, of course, the book was put in chronological order of her past life experiences. So I thought I understood the way the timeline worked. And my understanding was, before I talked to him, is that, okay, the planet was created, and as it has been advancing, I've been kind of advancing through all my past, you know, what would be considered all my past lives. So as an example, my first past life was back in 56 BC when the planet was created and all that kind of stuff, and then I basically advanced as the planet was growing. And I went up to Brian and I asked him that question. He goes, no, he says, and you know, in your past life previous to this one, you could have been 150 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
He says, there is no, it's not like you're following a timeline. So I thought that was really interesting and kind of turned it all around for me that, you know, I think for some of it, it's kind of hard to grasp that, you know, I guess if you want to think about it, the planet itself could be multidimensional and that, you know, we have all these timelines running at the same time, you know, and truly what is bloodline and biological, you know, heritage and what is truly history, you know, and that's a whole thing that we could probably do a whole separate show on. But I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you about life between life is that it was my understanding, and I haven't done any of that work. You know, that seems to be almost like a different certification somewhere. It seems to me that I was told with that type of work, it takes a deeper level of deepening somebody to be able to go into that information versus, So
yeah,
how
and
do
it
you
it
do
takes
that
longer
when you're
too.
In
it
session?
Takes about it takes about 3 hours too. So it's a very very deep session, but it's very profound too, because you meet up with, you know, the other souls in your group, and you talk about how much you're connected by love and how the different incarnations happen, you know, how you plan those. But going back to the timeline, you know, time is a linear construct that humans have, and it's hard for us to understand that things could all be happening simultaneously. And I think that, again, Dolores Cannon, I think, has been talking more and more about this now, too. If you Google her on YouTube, she has lots of lectures, and more recently she's been talking about the fact that you know, that everything is happening at the same time.
Going back to what you were saying about the Boston class that you took where you learned how to go in and recover people who need to cross over, what was that called?
Psychopomp.
Okay, yeah. It's an interesting you know, we call, you know, for me, I call all these different things modality. It's an interesting name for a modality. You know, I thought I've heard other people say something along the lines. Is that something, I forget, Pam, is that something you do?
It's something I do, yes. I've never called it psychopomp, though.
it's a shamanic term, I guess.
Yeah, everybody has different perspectives. Well, that's how I got involved in this, with shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
And I trained under this man who really, he trained me one-on-one on how to be a death walker,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I spend a lot of time over the years in that world, just talking to one person after another person after another person and listening to stories and getting them to take, because people that are stuck for long periods of time are usually stuck because of lack of responsibility. It's someone else's fault. They did this to me. This kind of thing. Not always, but most of the time, there's the resistance builds because you don't either let yourself feel it and you're in such resistance, or you won't let yourself believe that you had any responsibility
mm-hmm.
for it. So it's just a question of loving them to the point that they're willing to, and making it safe enough that they're willing to let it go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll direct this question. I'll direct this question to both of you, both you, Pam, and also you, Kathy, and I think from what you said, I don't know if you can even answer this, but, I mean, how long does it normally take to do something like this where you go and, you want to help someone cross over.
Go ahead, Kathy.
It depends on the situation. Some people it can be pretty quick. And others, it takes a lot of one-on-one work with the person to get over whatever the barriers are that are preventing them from moving on.
Hmm. How about you, Pam? What's been your experience?
My experience is similar. Most people, you know, you communicate when you pass on the same way that you communicated in life. So if you were a person that was a very visual person and you would say things like, I see what you mean, you know, those kind of people usually communicate after they pass on with pictures. And the same is true with audio people that learn by hearing, for example, rather than by seeing. People that, you know, I mean, that we all learn in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, some people communicate emotionally, and after they pass on, they still communicate emotionally. So if a person communicates visually, then it's very easy to start talking to them because they're showing you pictures, they're telling you the story of their life, and sometimes you can pick up a person's life, his entire life, in just a few seconds because of it's almost like a download of
mm-hmm.
everything that's happened and all the things that occurred to them. Do you agree, Kathy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And sometimes if someone communicates emotionally, then you're just overwhelmed with emotions and it's really hard to interpret.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it also is trying to figure out what they're saying and why they feel that way. And it's, you know, I've had so much experience with this, and it's always so different and always just amazingly fascinating that when you're finished with the person and they have released it and went on, you really feel like you have just evolved an entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
More. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, not that we need to show anybody how to get there, but where exactly is that space, and what is it like when you're there working with somebody?
Where is that space? It's up by the North Pole. It's a secret Santa place. Oh, that's fun. Go ahead, Kathy. Do you have an answer for that?
Well, it's in shamanically, it's you're working in the middle world, and it's this world, but it's on a different layer of this world, where the spirits, it's kind of are stuck, and so it can be more visual, or it cannot be. You know, it could just be gray. It depends on the situation. I don't know. I'll let you talk, Pam. I'm stuck on
all
this
right.
one.
Okay. Well, my experience with it is, and I don't know, honestly, if this is actually the world or if this is my perception of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's true in the world we live in as well.
Right.
You don't really know that the world is actually like this or if it's your perception of the way that it looks. So the same is true in this world. And in Christianity, you would call it limbo, where someone isn't really able to move. You know, it's just this intense resistance. It's not a hellish environment. There's no
mm-hmm.
demonic feeling. There's no evil there. It's just the person is completely stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And we experience that in our day-to-day lives, don't we? I mean, people come to
mm-hmm.
me all the time saying, I just don't know where I want to go next. I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what this is, but it's generated by huge amount of electrical resistance, pushing away and resisting what has happened to them. And so it usually, to me, it looks like
kind of a desert world with a sunset sky where it's all bright orange and beautiful, really, but it's reflected on what appears to be like a sand color. And there's always a huge amount of people waiting to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that situation. I don't know if you've experienced that, but that's kind of what it feels like to me and what it looks like.
Well, thank you for going over that for both of you. Kathy, why don't you go ahead and give everybody your website so people can find out where you're at and what you're working on, and just talk really quickly about some of the things you spoke about with me and Pam in the beginning about some of the classes that you have coming up.
Okay, great. So my website is dragonflyhealingcenter.com. And some of the classes that are coming up in May here at the Dragonfly Healing Center is we're doing a meditation class, a two-hour meditation class, and it's being led by my brother, who is a Buddhist, and also he's a Rolfer and a cranial sacral therapist. And he's going to teach some basic meditation. It's a two-hour class. And then my acupressure teacher, Gail Kellstrom, is going to do a four-hour introductory class on acupressure. And then I'll be doing a two-day workshop on basic shamanic journey. And the wonderful thing is that I have a lot of great friends who are healers, and I'm going to be trying to bring them in and feature them in workshops here over the coming year. So
that's like a conference. It's lovely.
Yeah, and it's a nice intimate space, my healing center. It's and I'm located in Bogota, which is in Bergen County in northern New Jersey.
Right, they're very convenient for a lot of New Yorkers and everything. And okay, anything in closing, Pam?
Well, I thought it was an amazing show. I really loved talking to you, Kathy.
Thank you, Pam.
So much. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been great. Thank you again. And everybody, enjoy the total lunar eclipse tonight.
Yeah,
that's right.
So powerful. Thank you. Thank you for both of you. And as always, thank you, Pam. And what a great show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Life is but a dream.